Thank you so much, Corral, for that. I appreciate that. Thank you for the work and the preparation. I was thinking a little earlier about, that a church service doesn't just happen, that there's work and there's preparation, and there's folks that have come in and cleaned the building from their last services and prepared it, and there are those who prepare the music and each other things. So I appreciate that so very much. We're going to continue in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at the topic today, conquering faith. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll be going back to the book of Joshua chapter 2 in just a little bit. But Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read just one verse, verse 30 as we begin. And just in a few short words there, we hear a statement about a great event that took place, an event that marked the authority and power of God as the children of Israel came into the land. In verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Lord, we thank you for this short statement about a great event. Lord, help us as we look at that to see your conquering faith in our life, because we have Jerichos. We have obstacles that seem to be insurmountable in our own strength and our own ability. But Lord, you can conquer those for us. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for what you accomplished now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, faith is not a momentary thought that interrupts your day and schedule. Often we think of faith, well, I have faith to do this, and then it's not accomplished. And then sometimes we blame God. But faith is a, and I hesitate a little bit to use this word, but faith is a lifestyle. Faith is a life work. The walls of Jericho didn't fall because of a whim or a fleeting thought. It was a result of the working of God over weeks and the obedience and steadfastness of his people. I believe each of us, if we honestly look at our heart and our soul and look at our circumstances in our life, we would say we want to see God do the miraculous. There's a Jericho in our life. There's something that the walls are high. It seems insurmountable. There's something that with our own strength and our own ability, we know we can never conquer, we can never overcome. So we look at that Jericho in our life. We need to have the faith to believe God can conquer that for us and live and conduct our lives in such a way that God can use us as a conquering force for that Jericho in our lives. If that's going to happen, there's several things that we have to do. Go back with me to Joshua chapter 2, please. In Joshua chapter 2, back in the Old Testament, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Joshua chapter 2, we see that In chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto lands which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. We trip over words in the Bible quite lightly sometimes. Moses, my servant, is dead. This was a huge, huge deal. Moses is the one that God used to deliver Israel from Egypt. Moses is the one that God used to lead them through 40 years in the wilderness. Moses is the one that God used to lead them up to this point, to the east bank of the Jordan River. Joshua is probably about 80 years old now. He probably spent the first 40 years of his life in the copper mines in Egypt. That's what tradition tells us. We don't have scripture to back that up. He comes to four, the four in the Bible, first as a warrior in a conflict with Amalek. And now, after 40 years in the wilderness, he becomes the leader of someplace around 3 million people. Tells in the Exodus there are about 600,000 men besides their families that went out, besides a mixed multitude that went with them. Imagine the weight upon his shoulders. Not just the fact that he's a leader of about 3 million people, but they are now on the east bank of the Jordan River. God has called them to go into the land. We see the promise there in verse 2. The land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. But there's some great obstacles in the way. The first is the Jordan River at flood tide. The second, as they cross the Jordan River, they'll camp at a place called Gilgal. And there, they are within striking distance of the city of Jericho, a walled fortress city that has to be taken if they are going to conquer the land. You know, I think like you would be overwhelmed with that responsibility. You ever overwhelmed? You ever just sit and look and just kind of want to throw your hands up and say, you know, what do I do now? What did Joshua do? The first thing we see he did is took an honest assessment of the situation. In chapter 2, we aren't going to read all this chapter, but we find he sends some men to go and spy out the land. It's kind of reminiscent of something that happened about 38 years before that, as they came to a place called Beersheba in the south, and 12 men were sent to spy out the land. And of course, Joshua and Caleb brought back a good report, saying, yes, there are giants in the land, but God has given us the land, and God will give us the ability to take the land. The children of Israel rebelled and wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, or 38 more years. And now, as they're on the east bank of the Jordan, Joshua sends just 2 spies in. They can blend in, I think, a little easier with the population, and because they go right into the city of Jericho, in through the gates that are guarded by soldiers. They mix amongst the population of the city, and they come to a woman's house named Rahab. And there they are hidden by her, and then later on they are delivered over the wall. They hide out for a time before they come back to Joshua. Take an honest assessment of the situation. Don't rely on rumors and secondhand information. Aren't rumors wonderful? Oh my, I'll tell you. All I had to do was one thing happen, and it go through about 5 people, and it's totally changed. You ever play the game Telephone? It's great. Whenever I play that game, I make up things as I go along. I just change it completely. I know you're not supposed to do that. But there's some people that do that with rumors that they hear. Don't believe rumors. Don't believe secondhand information. Listen to the thoughts of others. Look what Rahab said in verse 9. And she said to them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God above, in heaven above and in earth beneath. Rahab said, this is what the people of Jericho, this is what the people of the land are feeling now. We've heard 3 million people cannot make a migration. This was one of the largest migrations of people in a short time in history. More than 3 million people left Egypt, came to Mount Sinai. From there, came down to Beersheba, from Beersheba, and then from there they spent 38 years kind of circling there in the southern part before they come up to the Jordan River. We've heard about you. We've heard what God has done for you. We heard about your deliverance from Egypt. We heard about the Red Sea. We heard about the Amalekites. We heard about that. And the people of the land are afraid of you. Trust those you serve with. Look what the two men returned in verse 23 and 24. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for all the inhabitants of that country do faint because of us." Take an honest assessment. You know, I'm afraid when we face a Jericho in our lives, our hearts and minds are full of what ifs. What if this happens? And what if this happens? And what if this happens? And we should plan. We should be prepared for things. But we cannot spend our whole life dwelling on the what ifs. Joshua said, "I need good, solid information." He sent these two men. They bring back the report of Rahab. They bring back their own report from what they had heard from other people in the city of Jericho. For you see, Jericho was that close to Gilgal where the people were going to encamp. They were on the other side of Jordan, but they knew they were there. 3 million people could not come and encamp just a few miles away across the river from the city of Jericho, and the inhabitants of Jericho would not know about it. They knew there was going to come some radical change in their lives. And they were afraid. 3. Fear is an interesting thing. People react differently out of fear. Sometimes people cower, draw back with fear. Sometimes when people are afraid, they attack. Sometimes when people are afraid, they attack others that are more vulnerable than the actual thing that's causing them fear. But we need to take an honest assessment of the situation. What's that Jericho you're facing? What is it really? Not what do you think it might be or could be. What you think could happen down the road 2 months or 3 months or 6 months or 5 months. But what is it right now? Take an honest assessment of the situation. And the second thing we understand, we have to step out by faith. Step out by faith. Joshua chapter 3 says, Joshua rose early in the morning and moved from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, Levites bearing it, that ye go, that then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." Verse 5, I like this verse. Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves." What does sanctify mean? Set yourself apart unto God. "For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. And what happened on tomorrow? Joshua said, "We're going to cross the Jordan River." You know, I think maybe this was just a little bit easier for Joshua than it was for Moses. Moses came to the Red Sea and he'd never seen the waters parted before. But Joshua came to the Jordan River and he'd seen God part the waters of the great Red Sea, and you couldn't see across to the shore on the Red Sea. But here we find the Jordan River. You could see across. It was at flood tide. It was overflowing its banks. But you could see your destination across that river. You know, they were relatively safe on the east bank of the Jordan River. But a new generation needed a new standard of God's power. And so the priest stepped out by faith. It's interesting, if you read this account in the book of Joshua, we won't go into the detail, but it says the waters did not part until the priests from the banks stepped off the bank and the sole of their sandal touched the water. Then the waters parted. It wasn't like with the Red Sea, where a wind blew all night and they woke up in the morning and there was a dry path going through the sea. Here, it was a test of faith. It was a test, will they step their foot out in the water or not? God parted the waters. The waters stood in a heap and they passed through on dry ground. Again, think of this. It had to be a big area because 3 million people plus all of their livestock and all the goods they were carrying crossed that river and came to the other side, to a place called Gilgal. Step out by faith. When you want to see God conquer a Jericho for you, step out by faith. Say, I'm going to do what's right regardless. Some people might misunderstand my decision to do right. Some people might criticize me for doing right. Some people might say, well, you're just an old Bible thumper for doing right. But step out by faith and do right. See, God commanded Joshua and the children of Israel to cross the Jordan River. But their faith was, were they going to obey the command of God? They stepped out by faith. The third thing we need to do is honor God for his faithfulness and work. Honor God for his faithfulness and his work. The end of chapter 3. Chapter 4. And verse 19. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until we were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Honor God for his faithfulness and work. 12 stones taken out of the middle of the Jordan River, carried, each man took a stone. They set up a memorial there on the west bank of the Jordan River. Joshua says, when your time's to come, when you're traveling with your children, and your children come, and they see this pile of 12 stones, and they ask you, what do these stones mean? You tell them, you brag on God. This is what God did. God brought us over the Jordan River, just like God had brought us through the Red Sea. Honor God. It's a reminder for you, a reminder for the world, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. The fourth thing we need to do is put ourselves totally in the hands of God. Chapter 5, we find they come to Gilgal. Three important things take place in Gilgal. They celebrated the Passover there. First time in years. Secondly, the manna ceased at Gilgal. They had been sustained by this manna for 40 years in the wilderness. The manna didn't come anymore. The Bible says they ate of the old corn of the land. They ate the fruit of the land. The third thing, all the men were circumcised. Think about this. They're at Gilgal. Gilgal means a cutting away of the flesh. They're within striking distance of the city of Jericho, and all the men are incapacitated for days. They're totally at the mercy of the soldiers of Jericho, of those in the communities round about them. You know, I wonder, do we have the courage to put ourselves in the hand of God? To say, God, there's a lot of things going on and I don't understand. Lord, I'm going to trust you in these circumstances. Totally defenseless. There's nothing I can do to defend myself. There's nothing I can do to resolve this situation. And God, I'm trusting you now in these circumstances. Put yourself in the hands of God. Think about this. Can there be any safer place than the hands of God? Can there be any place any better when you are troubled, when you're facing a Jericho in your life? Can there be any place that's better than in the hands of our loving Savior who loved us and died for us? In the hands of a Savior that knows the beginning from the end, He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows about that diagnosis. He knows about that problem. He knows about that son, that daughter, that grandson, that granddaughter. He knows about that. He knows about the job or lack of it. He knows about all these things. And He loves you and cares about you more than anyone in this world. Can we put ourselves in His hands? That's what Joshua and the children of Israel did. I'm sure that there were what ifs that went on. What if the inhabitants of the land attack? We're done. What if? What if? But we're in the hands of God. We don't have to worry about what ifs. Because again, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, and are called according to His purpose. The fifth thing we need to do is to meet with God. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. Joshua goes out on, I don't know what you want to call it, night maneuvers maybe. It came to pass, Joshua chapter 5 verse 13, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said to him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Joshua confronted him and he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Again, that goes back when God called Moses in the Midian desert, only instead of it be the captain of the Lord's host, it was a burning bush that Moses stood before. And we find basically the same conversation taking place at the burning bush is here with the captain of the Lord's host. Of course, this is Jesus Christ. With theology, we call this a theophany. Jesus Christ appearing as a man in the Old Testament. Meet with God. What was Joshua doing near Jericho? The Bible doesn't say specifically, but I think he was praying. Joshua worshiped. Joshua listened. Joshua obeyed as he met with God. And the sixth thing, if we're going to see God take care of those Jerichos, we have to follow God's instructions. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. Strange instructions for a battle. You remember now, Rahab and the spies said that the inhabitants of Jericho were quaking with fear at this host, 600,000 men besides women and children. Now they've crossed the Jordan River. They come to Gilgal. And now God gives the instructions. You're going to take the men out and you're going to march around the city once and you're going to come back home. The next day you're going to do it again and come back home. I'm sure you've given some thought to what happened on the walls of Jericho that day. As the children of Israel came, as the men came and they saw them coming in a mass across the valley, and they saw them begin to go and to be circled around. All the men were called to the battlements, and they all had their armor, and they had their swords and their spears and their bows, and they were prepared for an attack because they believed that was what was going to happen. Remember, they were afraid. But nothing happened. They went around the city and went back. And the next day they did the same thing. And day three they did the same. I think by day four, the soldiers that were on the battlements there of Jericho said, "Here they come again, boys." And I'm sure that they made some very insightful comments as they went around the city. Day five, "Here comes the parade again." Day six, "Here they come again." Now, you know, I've read a little bit about warfare, but I've never read a book on warfare that said this is how you attack a city. You know, what are you going to do? Wear a trench around the city? I'm sure that the men obeyed Joshua. You have to give them credit for that. Even though they did not know exactly how it was going to end. You know, do we have the courage to obey God's instructions? To obey the Word of God, even though we don't know how it will end up? Again, we are in the hands of God. God knows how it's going to end up. God says we are to obey, we are to do right, we are to walk with Him, we are to obey the Word of God. Leave the results with Him. We too often want to shape the results, and we get what we want instead of sitting back and saying, "I'm going to do right, I'm going to obey, I'm going to walk as God would have me walk, and I'm going to leave the results with God." Because God's results are always better than ours. It was a test of their faithfulness, 7 days in a row. We know at the end of that seventh day, as they marched around seven times, the trumpet sounded and the walls fell down flat. They went into the city. And there the city, of course, was taken. One last thought and I'm done. If we're going to see God conquer a Jericho, we have to keep ourselves from sin. On a great day, on a great victory, was a tragedy. Look at verse 17 of Joshua chapter 6. We find the instructions there. "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hath hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed and take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble. But all the gold and silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." The children of Israel were warned. Keep yourselves. Focus on your duty. Look at chapter 7 and verse 21. We find here that Achan is confronted. Achan was one of the soldiers that went into the city of Jericho. Notice what he said when he's confronted with his sin. He says, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." Keep your focus on. You know, I wonder how many other soldiers went by that pile, that gold, that silver, that Babylonian garment, and saw them and passed right on by, not giving them a second thought, while they were focused on their duty. See, if we keep focused on our duty and focused on the Word of God, focused on obeying the Word of God, then sin does not hold an attraction for us. But notice what Achan said. He says, "I saw it." He says, "Then I coveted it. Then I took it. And now it's hidden in my tent." We can go back to the very first sin in the Garden of Eden, and we can make those same statements about Eve and the fruit. She saw it was good for food. She took it. She coveted it. She took it, and then she and Adam hid themselves. The pattern of sin is always the same. It's always the same. Keep yourselves from sin. We know that Achan and his family were destroyed. Sin can destroy families, tear them apart. You know, the walls came down in a moment, but the people had committed themselves into God's hands. Joshua met with God. God's instructions were followed. And for the most part, they kept themselves from sin. When they didn't, it was a real problem. What Jericho are you facing in your life today? You want to see God conquer that Jericho? He can. He can. But we have to do what God says. We have to commit ourselves into God's hands. If you're here and facing a Jericho and you know you're not saved, you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's your first step. You need to commit your life into God's hands. You need to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That way you have a heavenly Father that loves you and cares you and will lead you and direct you. You need to be saved. As a Christian, if you're facing a Jericho, I don't know what it might be across this auditorium. The number of people that are here, probably we have equal number of Jerichos to the number of people that are here. Something that we cannot solve ourselves. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? That we can have that victory in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close our eyes, please?